feel most comfortable about, and the game they won was back on Monday night, and that was the Shota Imanaga game, and he put on quite the performance.
Yeah, this game was over by the fourth inning as the Cubs ambushed Joey Estes and the A's. Bottom of the first, two outs, Seiya Suzuki and Cody Bellinger back-to-back singles, and Isak Paredes, he makes it three in a row. Seiya scores, Cubs up 1-0. Then in the second, Nico singles. Get this, Dustin. PCA hits a bunt single on a 1-2 count. What are, you know, you don't see that often.
No.
Miguel Amaya singles to score Nico, and PCA moves to third. Cubs take a 2-0 lead, and Happ makes it 3-0 with an RBI single. Amaya goes to second. First and second, Dansby Swanson hits his 15th homer of the season. A basket shot to left. The basket giveth, the basket taketh away. Cubs up 6-0. And after a Seiya Suzuki single, Joey Estes' night is over with no outs in the second inning. Doesn't matter who was pitching. The Cubs are still adding on runs. Bottom of the third, Nico walks. PCA doubles to put runners at second and third. Miguel Amaya hits a single to score a run. Ian Happ would pop out, but Dansby singled to score PCA, and the Cubs were up 8-2. Fourth inning, Cody Bellinger triples and scores on an Isak Paredes singles. Cubs have a 9-2 lead after four. With all that run support for Shota, that it was easy cruising, right? That was his fifth win in a row. Dustin, Shota gave up a leadoff triple to Jacob Wilson to start the game. He gets out of it without giving up any runs.
Right. That was what part of what was so impressive. Not only the fact, obviously, that he goes on to K-11 Athletics, but I just thought, uh-oh, when that happened, and he got out of it.
Right. He didn't get lucky in the third inning, though. The A's got them. Jacob Wilson drew a leadoff walk, and Brett Rooker homered, his 38th of the year, to put the A's on the board. Dustin, I've been listening to a lot of pundits who think that the Cubs might try to trade for Brent Rooker. But again, that would require Cody Bellinger to opt out. And then, because Rooker is basically a DH, he started 120 games at DH, 9 in right, 5 in left. But he's the kind of big bat that the Cubs need. Can you imagine hitting 38 home runs on that team in Oakland and in that ballpark that they play in? But like I said, Cody would have to opt out. Suzuki would then play right. And then Rooker would be a DH, right?
I guess. I mean, you're gonna be okay with Suzuki and Wright.
Yeah, I mean, you can always do that thing where you kind of take him out later in the game if you got a lead.
If you got Talkman sitting around still,
you're not gonna have Talkman. Talkman's gonna be done. This is gonna be it for Talkman. But again, if you can just find a decent enough backup outfielder, I think that'll happen. But you know. We'll see. After the home run to Rooker, Imanaga gave up a walk in the fourth, a single in the fifth, and a single in the sixth. He would pitch six innings, give up two runs on five hits, three walks, and a career-high 11 Ks. How about this, Dustin? In nine interleague starts the season, Shota is 5-1 with a 2.31 ERA. He's allowed three earned runs or fewer in six straight starts dating back to August 18th, posting a 2.61 ERA. I know you and I have argued the semantics, but the rules are what they are. I mean, at this point, you got to say that Shota is definitely in the running for the NL Rookie of the Year, right?
To not get into the whole argument, sure. Yeah. Of course, if we're under the umbrella of rules that I don't agree with, yes, he should definitely be in the running. No doubt about that.
Right, baseball's rules. And so we'll see what happens with that. But Trey Wingarder pitched two innings, and Jack Neely finished the ninth. Cubs scored nine runs on 18 hits. They had a team cycle. Dansby Swanson was 2-for-5 with a home run and four RBIs. Isak Paredes, 3-for-4 with two RBIs. Miguel Amaya, 3-for-4 with two RBIs. So we had a couple of guys on the cold list last week who drove in some runs. And then how about going 7-for-11 with runners in scoring position? Nice little change there. So
that was a big change of pace coming from the series we just wrapped up with Colorado, right? Where the runners in scoring position was a massive, massive Achilles heel.
Yeah, just absolutely awful. So game two, this is the one that I was most nervous
about. On to game two. Can't we just enjoy game one a little bit longer? Game two, huh?
Ooh, game two.
Jordan Wicks. Maybe I wish you were still on the IL Wicks.
Yeah, this was after a rough start against the Dodgers, Jordan was hoping to have a bounce back game. Unfortunately, the only thing bouncing were home run balls by the A's and the bleachers. With one out in the first inning, Brent Rooker singles and Shea Langeliers hit a two-run blast to center field. Cubs were down 2-0 before they even come to the bat. Top of the third, Lawrence Butler. Boy, with Butler and Rooker, I mean, that's just a deadly 1-2 combo. But he hit his 22nd home run to right center to put the A's up 3-0. The Cubs would answer in the bottom of the third. Ian Happ led off the inning with his 24th home run to pull the Cubs within 3-1. Still in the third, one out. Seiya Suzuki and Cody Bellinger hit back-to-back singles. Isak Paredes grounds out. Suzuki out at third, but there's still runners at first and second with two outs for Michael Busch. He hits a soft fly ball to right, and Bellinger scores. Now the Cubs trail by only 1-3-2. The A's would get one of those back in the top of the fifth. Once again, it would be Shea Langeliers who hit his second homer of the game, number 28 of the year. A's back up by 2-4-2. Not the outing Wicks was looking for. He pitched five innings, gave up four runs on seven hits with two walks and four Ks, but he gave up three home runs, okay? So Wicks has started four games in September after a really long stay on the IL. And in his first two starts, he didn't give up a home run in 10 innings. He pitched against the Nationals and the Yankees. But his next two starts against the Dodgers and the A's, he's given up seven home runs in eight innings. Here is what Wicks had to say after the outing, you know, just his reaction to it.
It felt like three different spring trainings for you this year.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to put it. You know, there's no excuses though when you're at this league and you're trying to help us win. It's definitely not ideal, you know, missing 3 months of the season. But you know, like I said, there's no time for excuses. You know, you got to go out there and compete.
Have you felt the home runs last year have been more command or more sequencing?
So he's being asked right now, do you think that the home runs had to do more with command or sequencing of pitches?
I would say probably more command on my part. You know, I think I'm a lot to blame for those. And, you know, I understand that. I wear that. And, you know, I'm just going to go back to work this week and try and improve it.
I mean, this is a tough thing, Dustin, is that when you miss as much as Jordan Wicks has, or remember when Justin Steele was out for a while, you don't just come back throwing darts. You know what I mean? A lot of times you got to, it's like you're working your way back into it. And they're not going to keep these guys in AAA. That's just not going to happen. And so, you know, hopefully Jordan comes back and has a, you know, a healthy year. That's what we got to see from a lot of these young guys, whether you're talking, you know, we had ideas of Ben Brown being up here and Jordan Wicks and I'm trying to think of that first round draft pick from 2 years ago. All these guys that you were supposed to have up here that were going to be part of the bullpen and Cade Horton. And instead you got Drew Smyly giving up meatball, you know, gopher balls to all these guys. So. Not really what we kind of expected to be happening. You know, Dustin, when I kind of take a look at this here, the Cubs were down 4-2 in the ninth, and the A's flamethrower closer, Mason Millers, is on the mound. He struck out Miguel Amaya for the first out, but Ian Happ hit a solo home run off a 103.2-mile-per-hour fastball. That was the fastest pitch hit for a home run by any MLB batter in the pitch-tracking era since 2008. And so Bleacher Nation pointed this out for Ian. It was his second homer of the game, his 25th of the season, which ties his career best, his 86th run, which ties his career best, and his 85th RBI, which is his career best. And so that was also career home run number 150 and his 15th multi-homer game. So for Ian Happ, I mean, after a bad start to the season, he really had turned it around and has made it one of his best seasons as a Cub.
Right. The other thing that I thought was really impressive, and I don't have the number officially, but maybe you do or you remember this. I thought I saw today on the Marquee Network, I was doing a couple things at once when I was watching it, that he now has 150 career home runs. Yep, and next in front of him is Chris Bryant in the 160s. So he's going to pass Chris Bryant next year. Assuming he's still a Cub next year, and I think he will be because he's got a no-trade clause, unless something absolutely wild happens. And then not too far behind that is Andre Dawson. Like he could be one of the all-time Cub home run hitters in a career as a Cub when this is all said and done. I mean, he's been around long enough. I just didn't realize he was that high on the list.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about Chris Bryant doing all of that in a very short career span, you know what I mean?
It's not going to touch that in Colorado.
No, he's not going to get that close. But yeah, it's kind of phenomenal to believe. So what you're talking about is with 150, he's 16. Chris Bryant is 15th with 160. And then you get Andre Dawson, 174, Derek Lee, 179. Well,
how about Derek Lee being ahead of Andre Dawson? I mean, maybe you could have pulled that trivia. I would not have pulled that trivia. If you would have said to me, who hit more home runs as a Cub, Andre Dawson or Derek Lee? I mean, I would, pick me. I mean, I would have never guessed Derek Lee. Never. Maybe I'm just being too damn honest, but what was I doing? Was I asleep? I mean, Derek Lee hit more home runs to a Cub than Andre Dawson.
Andre Dawson's Cub career, and again, this is kind of selective memory, is that everyone remembers that 87 year as an MVP, and that was just phenomenal. But, you know, 88, 89, 80, he was still really, really good. But he didn't, you know, when you're talking about Cubs home runs, I mean, he actually did pretty good for the short amount of time he was a Cub, right?
Right. I just didn't remember Derek Lee being that prolific, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking.
I mean, good. You know, good. I thought good, you know, but not like very good. I just thought good.
Well, he had a lot more healthy years than Dawson did. Like when you talk about 89, 90, 91, Dawson's knees were completely shot at that point. So Derek Lee had a nice long career. I want to say with the Cubs, 2004 to about 2000, I'd say 10, maybe 11, you know, 10, I would say 2010. I don't know off the top of my head, but around there, you know. So, I mean, you know, he had five, I had one injured year, but he had a lot of good years where he hit the baseball. Him and Aramis Ramirez crushing baseballs, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a lot of fun, but you know, in this game right now, the Cubs actually outhit the A's in game 2, 11-9. They were better with runners in scoring position than the A's. Cubs were 1-for-6, left 9 on base, but the A's were 0-for-8 and left 8 men on base. The difference, though, was 3 home runs for the A's and 2 home runs for the Cubs, and that's how it ends up.
Yeah, they outslugged them. That's what they did. All right, game number 3, and a little bit of breaking news. We'll talk about this in a moment, but Justin Steele on with the midday show yesterday at the Score. Great interview. If you get a chance to hear that, spend an hour with them. Justin Steele, though, pitched and wasn't in there very long. I was surprised they even bothered. We're going to talk about that now, right, Crowley? So Justin Steele this afternoon over at Wrigley as they were looking to salvage the series.
Yeah, you know, he pitches, he starts, he gets to the top of the third, gets 2 outs, but Lawrence Butler and Brett Rooker, we warned you about them, puts both single to put runners at first and second with 2 outs. Shea Langelier drew a 9-pitch walk to load the bases. Council comes out to get Steele. So that's 2 2/3 innings, gave up 2 hits, 3 walks, whopping 57 pitches, 37 of them strikes. Ethan Roberts took over that mess and got Daz Cameron to pop out to end the threat. Ethan pitched an inning and a third, only gave up 1 hit. Unfortunately, that 1 hit was a home run off the bat of Tyler Soderstrom in the fourth to put the A's up 1-0. The Cubs' offense could do nothing against Brady Basso until the bottom of the fifth. Nico Horner and PCA hit back-to-back singles to put runners at the corners. PCA steals second. Miguel Amaya draws a walk to load the bases for the top of the order. Unfortunately, Ian Happ would strike out swinging, but his teammate Dansby Swanson hits a weak grounder to score. It went about 8 feet and up the third baseline, everybody's safe. Nico scores, game's tied at 1. Seiya Suzuki hits a single. Cody Bellinger sack fly, and just like that, the Cubs are up 3-1. Brady Basso's day is done. He went.
And I felt pretty good at this point, Crowley. I have to admit, I felt pretty good at that point.
I would say before the West Coast trip, I would have agreed with you, but the way that the bullpen has been, and in particular Drew Smyly, that's when I was like, oh boy, here we go. And if you go back to my Twitter at Crawley's Cubs, I go, here comes the inevitable Drew Smyly inning. And, you know, this, sure enough, 7th inning. You remember when the Cubs put Drew on waivers to see if any team wanted?
I guess that's why nobody wanted him, right? Not even the Orioles, who put Craig Kimbrel on IR today, or what are they, outright waivers or whatever they did to Kimbrel. So yeah, he's gone. Boy, nobody wanted Drew Smyly though. Nobody, nope. And you can see why.
Yeah, he gave up back-to-back singles to Tyler Soderstrom and Tyler Nevin to lead off the inning. Nick Allen hits a sack bunt to put runners at second and third. Lawrence Butler grounds out to score Soderstrom to cut the Cubs' lead to 3-2. That's it for Drew Smyly. Nate Pearson comes in to face Brent Rooker, and Rooker hits a dribbler up the line about 20 feet, and the game is tied at 3, almost like the exact same of what Cody Bellinger did to the A's. And so Shea Langelier would single, but then the A's got cute. They went with the old fake steal of second with Langelier, who's about the slowest man possible. And then Rooker's not any speed demon. He gets caught in a rundown at home. So it's one of those, like, try to get throw to second and try to steal.
Yeah, at least they executed it, right? At least they executed it.
If you call it that, that was an awful, that's a dumb way to get run out of the inning, in my opinion. But whatever. Pearson's still pitching in the eighth. He gives up a single to Seth Brown. Zach Geldof doubles to score Brown, and the A's jump in front 4-3 with no outs. The Cubs infield's playing in. Jacob Wilson grounds out to Dansby for the first out, and then Tyler Soderstrom's back. He hits one to Nico. Unfortunately, the throw is on the first base side of home plate and not the third base slide. Geldof scores on a nice slide, and that put the A's up 5-3. Mason Miller would come out again in the ninth and put this one on ice. I don't know, Dustin. I mean, when I look back at this and I look at how bad the Cubs needed this win, if you knew you were only going to throw, you know, 30, 40 pitches for Justin Steele,
then why bother? Why bother? I mean, we said it the other day, Crowley. We said if the Cubs won the first two games of this series and they were going for a sweep today, then would they have still handled? Here's the other part of it. Okay. Would they still have handled Justin Steele the same way? If they were going for a sweep today, would they have handled it the same way? And then we had Tommy Hotovy on, and he said, listen, we wouldn't do anything to put his health in danger. He still has things he wants to accomplish. 57 pitches, you could do that on the side. What's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point?
And you
may as well have Drew Smyly as an opener, right? You may as well have gotten his crap out of the way early.
Yeah, it just didn't make much sense. And, you know, I keep hearing all the people say, you know, well, he's healthy, so let him pitch. No, he's not ramped up. He had elbow issues. I mean,
right. Every pitch moving forward, that should be it. Today should have been it. That's it. No more. I think every pitch after this is an absolute waste of time.
It started with opening night and the hamstring injury, and it just hasn't worked out. Let the kid rest. He threw a lot of innings last year. He didn't throw as many this year. I get it, but I felt that pushing the rest of the starters back there, like I said, if you're going to go two innings and that's it. And after seeing what the bullpen did on the West Coast trip, I was not comfortable with watching the bullpen try to hold on for six innings.
This bullpen has regressed. Big time.
Yeah.
Absolutely big time.
And Dustin, we sit there and we look at this here and we talked at the end of August. Okay, Cubs have a weak schedule. There's a couple tough ones, Yankees, Dodgers, you know, and Philly, but in general, pretty weak schedule. But so far this month, they've lost a series at home to the Pirates and the A's. So you lost to two bad teams at home. I don't know what's going on and why the Cubs can't play well at home. They lost a series on the road to the Rockies in horrific fashion. And so, you know, weak schedule, whatever, the Cubs couldn't beat the teams that were in front of them. And, you know, you did have a chance when you came into this month to make a run, especially if you remember that it was 8-1 road trip that they had before coming home to Pittsburgh. They had it lined up how they kind of were hoping, and that dropping it to Pittsburgh, that just killed you right there. Throwing the Rocky. I'm not going to get mad at losing three games to the Yankees. I'm not, you know, a series to the Yankees, two out of three, but, you know, you took two out of three from the Dodgers, but losing to the Pirates, losing to the Rockies, that's the second year in a row they've done that in September when they were in a playoff hunt, was losing to the Pirates and Rockies, and now losing to Oakland, which was just ridiculous. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of hard questions that are going to be asked, and I hope that somebody has some good answers, because, you know, right now this is just unacceptable.
Well, I mean, do you have an answer? I know we've got plenty of time to get into it, so maybe we just tease it that way. But I think our fans want to know what our answers are. But we'll hold that. We'll hold those thoughts. And, hey, if you've got a thought, if you've got answers and you think you've got a way to fix this thing, email Crowley and I, flythew670@gmail.com. Again, flythew670@gmail.com.